Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Jennifer Westaway, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. It is the ad that has become the issue in recent weeks on the campaign trail. A group of Vietnam veterans and Bush supporters called Swift Boat Veterans for Truth put out a damning ad challenging John Kerry's record in Vietnam.
I served with John Kerry.
I served with John Kerry.
John Kerry has not been honest about what happened in Vietnam.
He is lying about his record.
I know John Kerry is lying about his first Purple Heart, because I treated him for that injury.
John Kerry lied to get his Bronze Star. I know. I was there. I saw what happened.
The Swift Boat ad had been running since August 4th. Just last week, John Kerry fired back hard and laid the blame squarely at President Bush's feet.
Of course, the president keeps telling people he would never question my service to our country. Instead, he watches as a Republican-funded attack group does just that.
Under pressure to respond to the Kerry camp's accusations, President Bush today got off his own shot, calling on both sides to halt attack ads by outside groups.
I can't be more plain about it, and I hope my opponent joins me in saying, condemning these activities of the 527s. I think they're bad for the system.
So just how big is this ad in the 2004 presidential campaign? A national Annenberg survey found more than half the country has seen or heard about the Swift Boat ad. Tonight, On Point, John Kerry fights back against the ad, and we take a hard look at its ongoing resonance in the 2004 election. What is your take on the ad? Fair? Over the top? Propaganda? Michael Moore on the other side? What do you make of John Kerry's response? Did he wait too long? What about President Bush? Join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We begin with a closer look at the ad itself and the facts as they have unfolded. Mattia Gold is a political reporter with the Los Angeles Times and has been covering the Swift Boat controversy and the Kerry campaign. She joins us now from New York. Good evening, Mattia.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
How's the Kerry camp responding to President Bush today?
Well, Senator Edwards, who's John Kerry's running mate, came out today and said that the president did not answer in a moment of truth that in his effort to try to bat this ad down. He said it wasn't sufficient, and the president's answer didn't really address the main crux of the ad, which is the content. He just spoke generally that he's against this independent advertising by outside groups.
Take out all attack ads.
Exactly. And the Kerry campaign really has been on a five-day counterattack now. They're doing everything they can through surrogates, through advertising, through both Kerry and his running mate, John Edwards, to really try to bat down these charges once and for all.
Well, take us back for a minute to the original charges. What was in that first ad that caused all this?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Jennifer. A lot of people don't remember this group first surfaced back in May with some of these same charges. They held a press conference in Washington.
They wanted his records.
Demanding Kerry release his records.
Right.
He actually had posted his records on his website at that point, but they insisted there were more to be had. And they insisted that he had engineered a lot of his wartime injuries, that they weren't really as severe. They didn't deserve medals. They were mostly dismissed both by the campaign and others at the time. But in the beginning of August, they launched an ad that was very slickly produced that conveyed a lot of these charges, featuring 13 men who served in Swift Boats alongside Kerry. Now, none of them had actually been on the boat that he commanded, but they knew him or they were nearby on the Mekong Delta where he was in Vietnam. And they say that he did not actually act with enough courage and that he did not deserve these wartime medals that he's been touting in his race.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, why does it matter what they think?
Well, that's the Kerry campaign's argument. They say that these men do not have credibility. And in fact, the group has made it very clear that they are very angry about Kerry's activities once he returned from the war and began speaking out against it, specifically his testimony in 1971 before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, when he said that other veterans had told him stories of great atrocities committed by soldiers in Vietnam. And that was something that angered a lot of his fellow soldiers, and they've acknowledged that that's motivating a lot of what they're doing, but they insist that they knew the truth and that it's their responsibility to speak out on this.
And somehow these medals were given improperly. Who are these veterans? You've said that none of them actually served on Kerry's boat, but do any of them have a history with him?
Well, one in particular, John O'Neill, commanded another boat, and he actually debated Kerry on a television show back in the 1970s around the time of his Senate testimony, and he was actually recruited by the Nixon White House to do so. And he's been a longtime nemesis of the senator and actually wrote a book that just came out middle of this month called Unfit for Command that repeats a lot of these charges. He really has been at the helm of this group along with another former admiral, Roy Hoffman, who has said that he did not get along with Kerry, and that Kerry was a loose cannon when he was under his command in Vietnam.
Okay. The perennial question, show me the money. Who's funding these men?
Well, the Kerry campaign has really pounced on some news reports that show connections between this group and the Republicans and Bush's advisors. Now, there's nothing that's really concrete that shows any money going from specifically the Bush campaign to this group. However, there are a lot of friendships and associates. The main donor of this organization is a Texas developer named Robert Perry, and he has donated $200,000 so far to this group, which was really more than half of its money until it started running the ad and began getting other donations over the Internet. And he is a longtime associate of Karl Rove and is very big in Texas Republican politics.
Okay, when we hear things like that, then is it fair to say that the Bush campaign was indirectly involved? How do we interpret that kind of link?
Well, you know, both sides are pushing for very different interpretations of it, Jennifer. At this point, I don't think there is a really enough specificity to say either way. The Kerry campaign says that the connection between Perry and Rove and between O'Neill and other Republicans and other operatives that are associated with this group is enough evidence to show collaboration. And, in fact, they filed a complaint today or were scheduled to file a complaint today with the FEC, making that very case that the Swift Boat Group was illegally acting in collaboration with the Bush campaign and the Republican Party, which would be illegal. Now, the Bush campaign says that there's no smoking gun here and that they, just because there's associates does not mean they had anything to do with it, and they adamantly deny all involvement. So I think it's very hard for voters really to sort through a lot of these charges right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of sorting through, how did the Kerry campaign sort through it in those early days? You get to pack a bag every other week and join John Kerry on the road?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. He didn't actually speak out about these charges personally until after they came off the air. The first Swift Boat ad ran from August 6th until August 12th. It wasn't until last Thursday on the 17th that Kerry spoke out about them. And aide said privately that they actually did not take this group that seriously at first. They saw immediately that a lot of their accounts contradicted themselves, that these groups had Republican ties. They thought they would be discounted. But this group persisted. They got a lot of buzz on talk radio. And Kerry began hearing from fellow veterans. He did an event on Wednesday in Cincinnati before the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and several veterans on the rope line brought this up to him. And at that point, I think he became really concerned that this was having an impact. And so the next day on Thursday, before a speech before some firefighters right there in Boston, he spoke out and he said, you know what, this group is doing Bush's dirty work. And he actually suggested that he would go after Bush's record if this group did not back down.
Well, why didn't he?
Well, I think the campaign is trying to hold that card until they have to play it, obviously. Kerry himself has said several times he will not make Bush's military record, or as he sees it, a lack thereof, part of this race, that he wants to stick to issues. But when he has been attacked, as he was earlier in the spring, he has mentioned Bush was in the National Guard, that there's questions about whether he fulfilled his service. But I think he and his advisors are aware that there is a backlash that could come along with that kind of charge. And so I think they're really holding that back until they really feel they have to use it.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an ear out for it. Mattia, thank you for joining us tonight.
You're very welcome.
Mattia Gold is a political reporter with the Los Angeles Times. She spoke with us from New York. Now, joining me now from Washington is Michael Tomasky. He's the executive editor of the American Prospect magazine. Michael, good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. Fair or foul on this ad? I'm betting that you come down on the side that says foul.
Well, that's a good guess.
Are we the media and by extension the public, do you think, being played here?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely being played. Look, the Republicans are trying to equate this group with some of the ads by the Democratic 527s, the group's name for the section of the election law that permits their existence, that raise money on their own and that aren't supposed to coordinate with the presidential campaigns. And the Republicans keep talking about, well, George Soros, they always mention Soros, has financed these ads from the Democratic 527s that attack Bush, and what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But a couple points here. The ads that George Soros has financed don't say anything that's not supported by the record. They say that George Bush left his National Guard service under, that there are questions about what his National Guard service consisted of, and that there's no record for a year that he showed up in Alabama. That's one thing they say. Another thing they say is that he's driven up the deficit. Is that controversial? Is that untrue? Is that going back 35 years? Of course not. Another thing they say is that he made dubious assertions about going into Iraq. How can, you know, you can't argue with those contentions. I mean, some people might disagree with them, but you can't argue that those are legitimate contentions.
So what are you saying there, Michael?
Well, here we have now, in contrast, on the Swift boat side, we have a bunch of guys who, many of whom at the time, defended John Kerry, commended John Kerry, said that he served honorably and was a good captain and behaved honorably, many of whom have said subsequently, in 1996, for example, when this came up in Kerry's Senate race that year, who appeared at his side in a news conference in Boston, George Eliot, unfortunately named, besmirching the fine reputation of one of our great novelists of our language, George Eliot showed up in Boston and defended John Kerry as recently as 1996, and others have made similar comments. Now, why have they changed? And they're saying a bunch of things. They're making a bunch of assertions. Sure, they were in the area. They were plying the Mekong Delta as Kerry was. But the record of the United States Department of Defense and the Naval Division therein is clear and has been clear for 35 years, and they haven't bothered to dispute it until now.
Well, my question to you there, though, is when you're talking about attack ads being factual, can we only run factual attack ads? Is that something we always leave up to the FEC? What should have happened with this ad when it first ran?
Well, you know, we live in a capitalist system. I mean, there's nothing you can do to stop people who have money from running ads.
Unless, right.
You know, I mean, TV stations can and actually have in political circumstances and other circumstances. People might recall the CBS decision not to carry the MoveOn.org ad during the Super Bowl. Stations and networks do have the power to use their discretion and say this ad is beyond the pale. And, you know, they didn't do that in this case. I think maybe they should have, or they should have certainly asked this Swift Boat group some questions about how they knew these things, because they have not offered any documentary evidence to prove their assertions. It's just their word, their 35-year-old word, against something that's been on the record for 35 years.
And that, too, is something that the media has tried to get in on, determining the veracity of some of these claims. Do you not think there's a role for the media to do that? You were writing that you thought maybe this was getting way too much attention.
Well, undoubtedly it's getting too much attention, but I don't, you know, I'm not naive. I know it's going to get a lot of attention, but the point and the thing that I wrote today, which I think you're referring to, is that when the media write 2,500-word close parsings of what actually happened on the Bayhap River on March 13th, 1969, they're only really benefiting the agenda of the right and of the Swift Boat veterans and of whoever else in the Republican Party and the Bush campaign wants to keep this on the front pages and wants to keep this going. And where are the stories? Where are the 2,500-word stories, investigative stories, looking into that mysterious year in George Bush's National Guard service, looking into Dick Cheney's at least five deferments during the Vietnam War, and just giving the larger context on this whole question, which is John Kerry volunteered for the Navy. He volunteered to go to Vietnam. He volunteered to go to the Mekong Delta for the most dangerous duty a naval officer could possibly be given during the Vietnam War. Volunteered for all of those things. And George Bush and Dick Cheney sat around in their redoubts, wherever they were, figuring out how to get out of going to Vietnam.
Okay, I'm going to have to hold you to that, Michael. We'll be back in a moment. We're talking about the battle royale on the campaign trail over the Swift Boat ads, how John Kerry's fighting back, how these ads are resonating with voters, Have the ads attacking John Kerry's record in Vietnam affected your vote? Have they changed your opinion of John Kerry? Join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Jennifer Westaway, in for Tom Ashbrook. You're listening to On Point. I'm Jennifer Westaway, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about John Kerry fighting back against the ad that questions his war record in Vietnam, about the ongoing impact of ads on America's conscience and the race for the White House. Here's an excerpt from a second Swiftboat ad. It started running this past weekend.
They had personally raped, cut off ears, cut off heads.
The accusations that John Kerry made against the veterans who served in Vietnam was just devastating.
Randomly shot at civilians.
And it hurt me more than any physical wounds I had.
Cut off limbs, blown up bodies.
That was part of the torture, was to sign a statement that you had committed war crimes.
Razed villages in fashion reminiscent of Genghis Khan.
John Kerry gave the enemy for free what I and many of my comrades in North Vietnam, in the prison camps, took torture to avoid saying. It demoralizes.
Now, also this weekend, the Kerry campaign rolled out its own response ad.
American soldiers are fighting in Iraq. Families struggle to afford health care. Jobs heading overseas. Instead of solutions, George Bush's campaign supports a front group attacking John Kerry's military record. Attacks called smears, lies. Senator McCain calls them dishonest. Bush smeared John McCain 4 years ago. Now he's doing it to John Kerry. George Bush denounced the smear. Get back to the issues. America deserves better.
What do you make of John Kerry's response? Did he wait too long? How about President Bush? Did he wait too long? Are you satisfied by what he said today? 2 months left to go in the campaign. Are you already weary, maybe, of negative ads? Join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-8255. Talk. I'm joined from Washington by Michael Tomasky, executive editor of the American Prospect magazine. I'd like to bring into the conversation now Dan Payne. He's a Democratic strategist and media consultant, and he has worked with John Kerry on previous Senate campaigns. Good evening, Dan.
Good to be with you.
Now, you've had a good view of John Kerry in the past, meeting all sorts of campaign challenges. How do you think he met this Swiftboat ad?
Well, John is used to this. It was a major part of his first campaign for Congress. In fact, John O'Neill, the infamous John O'Neill, played a leading role in trashing John Kerry in 1972 in a campaign that I was involved in. So I recognize John O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about O'Neill that just came out, I mean, and we're starting to find that little things about some of these characters. O'Neill never spent one day in Vietnam with John Kerry. He took over John Kerry's boat when Kerry left the Navy, but that's his contact with John Kerry. And what you're seeing is people who didn't like what John Kerry did after he came home and he protested the war. It was a very gutsy thing to do.
It was the beginning of his political career, too, was it not?
Well, but there are some who would say that had he just kept his mouth shut, he'd have been better off rather than saying the things he said that you just heard that would be politically injurious to him. But he's, he understands this. He doesn't like it. It energizes him. It actually makes him a better candidate when he's focused against these kind of distortions. But let me just go back a second because this Annenberg poll keeps coming up.
Yeah, more than 50% of people have seen or heard the ad.
Now, if you actually look at the poll, there's some very interesting numbers here. Of all Americans, 59% said he deserved his medals. 21% said he did not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 3-to-1 margin. Among Democrats, it's 78, as you'd expect. 78 say he deserved, 8 said he didn't. Among Republicans, 39 said he did. This is interesting. And 38 said he didn't. So you have a 50-50 with Republicans. Among independents, you're back to sort of what the total population is like. 59-20 say he deserved and did not. Now, if I'm John Kerry and I see that after taking this beating for a week or so, I'm up 3-to-1 with the electorate overall, I'm not in a panic right now. I think what Kerry's feeling and what people around him are feeling is that an injustice has been done. These characters are not average vets. They are people who have changed their stories and who are all of a sudden deciding 35 years after an event occurred that they want to get politically involved.
Are you suggesting there, Dan, that the ad has actually helped John Kerry on the campaign trail?
I don't know if it helps him on the campaign trail, but I know it focuses him. Every time, and he's been attacked like this in virtually every race he has run, and having seen how he responds to it, I can tell you that it actually gets him angry and focused, and he becomes a better candidate. I think he saw that in Iowa when he was surrounded by the Swift boat, his own Swift boat team, mm-hmm. and he relates to veterans in a different way than he relates to the general population, which is why he finds this so galling.
Well, I'd like to bring some callers in on this. We have a call from Bob in Wisconsin. You're on the air here. What would you like to say?
Well, hello.
Hello.
Interesting show so far. Your opening question was, what is the reaction to the ad? Did it help or did it backfire? And I just want to say, for me anyway, it backfired. And for the guy who worked with Kerry, I think you should really get the news out about these guys. What I did is I went on the internet and looked up. I mean, I Googled Swift boat vets. And, you know, this is news to me. I mean, in Wisconsin, we don't really know much about Kerry and his Vietnam service. And they're bringing this up. And I was wondering if there's anything to it. When I found out, you know, the context, I really started to get angry. I mean, I'm not a Bush lover, and I haven't quite warmed up to Kerry yet, but, you know, the fact that they're getting all of this money, this was raised by one of your earlier guests, from this good friend of Karl Rove's, and the fact that Kerry volunteered when Bush, you know, got to stay home from his daddy's connections and, you know, learn how to fly an airplane. And one other thing I learned that I thought was very interesting is that no one is really contesting any of the medals that he got relating to heroism. There is some question about, you know, where was he on one date or another date? And the other question is, you know, was this one injury severe enough? Should he have gotten a medal or should he not have? And it appears, you know, that, you know, a lot of people in Vietnam, you know, that's just the way it went. You know, you got injured and you got your medal and, you know, that's just the way that the cookies fell then.
Michael Tomasky, I'd like to turn that comment over to you. Do you suspect this ad might be backfiring for the Republicans, although it is not, strictly speaking, their ad?
I would love to be able to say with confidence that it's backfiring, but I'm not sure that it is. I mean, I think that, you know, this has come to be the issue of this campaign. Whoever wins, whoever loses 20 years from now, just as we look back on the 1988 campaign as the Willie Horton campaign, we're going to look back on this one as the Swift Boat campaign. And, you know, I think that it just remains to be seen. They're going to trot out a series of ads. They're going to release a documentary video in mid-September. Which goes into more of these charges. I do think there's a limit to it, to its ability to sway votes. But again, you know, when every time we have a speculative conversation like this about what the vote's going to be and what's going to happen on November 2nd, we have to remember that, you know, 537 votes somewhere could make a difference.
I'd like to bring someone else into the conversation at this point, Fred Barnes, who's the executive editor of the Weekly Standard. Fred, good evening.
Hi.
Do you think to some extent John Kerry might have brought this on himself by making his record, his war record, such a mainstay of his campaign?
Well, if he hadn't had the kind of convention he had and surrounded himself by the 9 or 10 veterans that he introduced and came on the stage and get nominated by Max Cleland and have Jim Rassman speak and really make the Vietnam record that he has the centerpiece of his campaign, I don't think these charges would have much legs. People wouldn't be interested in that, but they'd be talking about other things. But since Kerry has made such a point of his Vietnam record, then these charges are ones that I think have to be examined seriously.
Well, is this the group to do it?
Who?
Swift.
Oh, well, they've written a book. No, I mean, I think the press, the mainstream press, needs to look into them. The Washington Post did a long story in the Sunday edition on the March 13th, 1969 incident in which Jim Rassman famously was pulled out of the water by John Kerry, something nobody disputes. But there are a lot of other things. There are a lot of other aspects. If you read the book, and you really only need to read the first 90 or 100 pages because that's about the Vietnam part, and I'm referring to Unfit for Command, the book by John O'Neill, who, by the way, has never said he was in Vietnam when Kerry was, so far as I know. and he did come after Kerry, but there, if you read the book, you realize there are many, many charges. There's a charge that that Kerry, while he said over the years that he'd been in Cambodia on Christmas Eve and perhaps other times, was never there. Now, that's a charge that that we see now the Cambodia claim of Kerry, the Kerry campaign is backing away from that. There are questions about the first Purple Heart he got, about the Sampan incident, about whether he indeed stood up to Admiral Zumwalt at the famous Saigon summit on January 22, 1969. Other people who were there say he didn't say a word, and so on. So there are all these things that I think are worth investigating by the press, because Kerry has said that his record in Vietnam and the people who were there with him, his brothers in combat, are the ones who can most reveal who he is. And given that, I think the press has a heavy obligation to look into these.
Dan Payne, why isn't his record, why isn't John Kerry's record open to scrutiny? Why shouldn't this be?
It is.
All right.
It is, absolutely. And I guess I would argue with what Fred said, that we need to look at these characters, too. And the New York Times and the L.A. Times have looked at the guys who are in those TV commercials. They discovered that Roy Hoffman, who was the swift boat commander, or commanded all the swift boats in the Mekong Delta, at one time said that Kerry was a good man and that he wouldn't say anything negative about him. George Eliot said he had performed an act of courage. A guy named Lonsdale said he was one of the finest swift boat commanders. A fellow named Van Odell and Larry Thurlow, they also said contradictory things about their service and Kerry relating to very specific incidents. So we need to dig into these guys, too, and see what their story is. I don't happen to believe that it's going to hold water, and we've now heard from other people who were there, people like the Chicago Trib editor, William Rood, who was there. There was another guy on another boat. There were three boats in the area at the time, and there was one named Jim Russell who was there on the third boat, and he remembers, he says, to this day, it is my recollection that I will never forget of Kerry reaching down into the water while there was gunfire and pulling Rassman out. So, you know, this is not a one-sided discussion that's being held by the swift nuts against Kerry.
I'm going to interrupt you there because I'd like to get back to the phone here. We have another caller. Alan is calling from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Welcome to On Point.
Thank you very much. I want to make this a brief point. I'm an independent and have never belonged to a political party and never will. I have spent years of my life organizing Vietnam veterans at the state and national level. And I will tell you this, those Vietnam vets who vote, who are not bound to the Democrats or bound to the Republicans, are what the swift boat boys probably have not taken into account. And among all of us, regardless of our political stripes, there is a brotherhood. And I will tell you what I have heard since this shameful nonsense by these clowns has started, and that is a lot of the brothers are closing ranks with Mr. Kerry because we have had it with John McCain being trashed, with Max Cleland being trashed, and now with Mr. Kerry being trashed. My God, we defended this country, and if a few of these people who also defended it want to sell out for money and access, they are free to do so. And we are free to stand with the brotherhood.
Alan, if
you
If I can ask you, what did you think then of President Bush's response today, saying the thing to do was just to stop attack ads by third parties?
I stand with McCain on this matter. McCain called upon the president not to say something about 527s. McCain called upon the president to stand up and say that this is wrong. And the president has not done this. I am the loyal opposition on this matter as it pertains to Mr. Bush. I am not a Bush basher. I have no time for Bush bashers. But by God, these guys, pardon me if you don't mind me saying so on national radio, these guys are pissed in the bunker. And there's a lot of people out there who have been in the bunker that don't like it. And that is what these fellows have not counted on.
Alan,
I'll just listen from here on out. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
If I can just jump in, you got two calls from Wisconsin, which I think is interesting. because the Bush chairman from Wisconsin, a Vietnam vet, called on Bush to remove these spots or to tell the group involved to remove the spots. He said they're un-American.
Right. And Wisconsin, of course, is one of the three states in which they're running.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they've been exposed to this.
Right.
Yeah, I have to say, I can't figure out why I've seen this ad so many times myself. I don't live in any of the three states it's been showing.
You watch cable TV.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is. Look, I don't understand why Bush should tell an ad to stop that he doesn't know whether the facts are true or not. I mean, what it seems to me the Kerry and Edwards people are demanding is or saying that these Swift Boat vets should be silenced. They don't have a right to be on the air. Because we say that what their charges are not true. Well, they may not be true, but they haven't been thoroughly investigated. And actually, if you read the book, Unfit for Command, you find that they have considerable support. There's considerable evidence behind many of the charges in that book.
But on your point with the president, Fred, why would President Bush have to have anything directly to do with the group to take the high road and say, this hits
that,
below the belt?
Why is that the high road? He wasn't in Vietnam. All those vets were in Vietnam and served with Kerry. Actually, they served three times longer than Kerry did in Vietnam because they were all there for a year rather than 4 months. Why is it the president's obligation? I think what Kerry is doing is he doesn't want to have to respond to those charges. I think he needs to respond to them and not respond and not blame it on President Bush. That's a dodge.
John Kerry had to distance himself from some comments that a comic, Whoopi Goldberg, made on a stage. It wasn't even a television ad that was getting all kinds of national attention. It was a comment that was made on a stage. And he was under pressure to distance himself from Whoopi Goldberg. He did so. During the primary season, Wes Clark, you'll recall, Fred, was under pressure to distance himself from Michael Moore because Michael Moore on stage at a Wes Clark event called Bush a deserter. And Wes Clark, after some hemming and hawing, did indeed distance himself from those comments. So it's not unusual at all for this kind of pressure to be brought to bear on candidates to try and keep the dialogue at a certain level. So there's no way that Bush should be immune from such a question and such a demand.
Yeah, there's a simple difference there, though. Michael Moore was there at an event for Wes Clark. Whoopi Goldberg was there at a campaign event for John Kerry and John Edwards. These Swift Boat veterans are out there doing this on their own and saying these things. They're not a part of the Bush campaign. They may wind up helping the Bush campaign. They may wind up hurting the Bush campaign. I really don't know how these things are going to ultimately play. But Kerry's fight is not with Bush. It's with the Swift Boat commanders.
Okay, we're going to have to hold it there for now. Fred Barnes, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome.
Fred Barnes is the executive editor of the Weekly Standard. We're talking about John Kerry fighting back against the ad, the war of words, the very real impact on the way political contests are fought in America. What's your take on the ad? Do you wish John Kerry had responded faster, differently? Do you think maybe it's helping him? Do you wish George Bush had responded faster or in some other fashion? You can join the conversation with us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Jennifer Westaway in for Tom Ashbrook. You're listening to On Point. I'm Jennifer Westaway in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about John Kerry fighting back against the ad and the fierce fighting over the truth about his Vietnam War record. Democrats are putting up some firepower of their own to refute attacks against their candidate, among them retired Air Force General Merrill McPeak.
As a fighter pilot, I saw my share of combat. As chief of staff, I led the Air Force during the first Gulf War. And 4 years ago, I endorsed George Bush for president. But this year, I'm voting for John Kerry. Nothing is more important to me than protecting America. John Kerry has the strength and common sense we need in a commander-in-chief, and something more, a real strategy to make America safer.
What's your take on the ads? Are they fair? Do you think they're over the top? Propaganda? Are you satisfied with John Kerry's response? And what do you make of President Bush's? Would you like to see all third-party ads eliminated? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm joined tonight from Washington by Michael Tomasky, executive editor of the American Prospect magazine, and from Newton, Massachusetts by Dan Payne, Democratic strategist and media consultant. He's worked with John Kerry on previous Senate campaigns. I'd like to bring into the conversation now Bill Schneider, senior political analyst for CNN. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening.
You're my numbers whiz. We have heard that John Kerry took a look at some polls and the effect that this ad might have been having. Now, there's some question about whether he got a bump in the polls from this or whether it was hurting him with veterans. What do you see?
Well, the only thing we know, and I haven't done any polls, we at CNN have not done any. There was one poll last week from CBS News that indicated some damage among veterans. I'm a little nervous about that only because not only is it not our own poll, but veterans are a very small group. So we're talking about maybe 15 voters shifting from early August to now. So I don't want to put a lot of faith in that. The only thing I'll tell you is, and I don't know this for a fact because I'm not part of the Kerry campaign. He was behaving for the last few days as if he saw trouble in the polls. Otherwise, why would he be spending that scarce money to run ads attacking President Bush if he didn't see damage coming out of this?
I had read that he wasn't intending to spend any ad money in August.
And he did. He bought two ads. And so that convinces me that he saw at least potential damage and maybe some real damage coming out of this.
Have you seen any results of Kerry's response so far?
No, that's far too new. Mm-hmm. We will have our own polling at the end of this week, but at the moment we're not seeing any effects.
Can I ask you in general what kind of effect you think negative ads, and I think we could put the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth ad in that category, what effect they have on things like voter turnout?
Well, there is a story that negative ads turn people off and they make voters more cynical, which they probably do. But in this election, I'm not sure we're going to see any drop in voter turnout because it's a horse race. Voters get really excited by a horse race. If it's exciting, if it's a photo finish, they weren't real excited in 2000 because, frankly, that was a 50-50 election where voters were essentially saying whatever. Bush, Gore, Bush, it didn't make much difference to them who won until it went into an overtime after the November vote, and then it became a sporting event, and they got real excited. Well, that's the way they feel right now. You know, the highest turnout in American history, at least in the last century, was 1960, not because there were big differences between Nixon and Kennedy, but because it was a very exciting horse race, just like it is now.
People thought their vote would count. Do you see this issue as having legs? This Swift Boat Veterans?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'm not sure it can be sustained much longer because, after all, it's a debate over something that happened 35 years ago. But it can take all kinds of twists and turns, and there is a certain relevance to it because, of course, Americans are involved in fighting once again in Iraq. So I don't want to predict that it's going to just drop off the radar screen that quickly.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Bill.
My pleasure.
Bill Schneider is a senior political analyst with CNN. Dan Payne, if I can put that question to you, do you think this issue has legs?
I don't think it's going to last much past the Republican convention. I think once we get past Labor Day, the war that people are going to be talking about is the one that's going on in Iraq, not the one that happened in Vietnam. And that's the danger for Bush, is the talk of war is not necessarily good for him because his war has been going so badly. And I also believe, as I said before, Kerry gets energized when he gets attacked like this. And he may not have anticipated having to spend money now to do something about it. But had he decided, well, we'll let this go and we'll see what happens come Labor Day, then news organizations all over America would have said Kerry didn't react fast enough and let this charge go without responding. In fact, he's already got some of that from the news media. So he's got to do it to some extent to prove that he's taking it seriously.
Okay. I'm back to the phones now. We have a call from Dubuque, Iowa. Chris, you've joined On Point. Welcome.
Thank you, ma'am. I only have two comments, and this is, you know, everybody has been talking that the ads, whether or not they're good or bad, and the one thing that I got out of the ads is that I didn't know. I had heard that John Kerry had said that the turning point in his life was him being in Cambodia on Christmas Eve and then on Christmas Day. And if it wasn't for the ad, we'd have never known that that was not true. That's a lie. He was never there. And I think the second point that I have, that I personally, as a veteran, I don't, he did 4 months, and I respect him for that, and he did his tour and duty, and I think, you know, I respect him for that. But my whole problem is what he did when he came back. That bothers me as a veteran more than anything else. And I can still remember being 12 years old, my dad serving in Vietnam and coming back, and what he had to go through and what he had to listen to. And for somebody to come back and trash him like they did for something that I know that he never did and wasn't responsible for, that bothers me. And I think as a veteran, that bothers me more than what he did as a service in Vietnam, as what he did when he came back. I don't find that honorable. I don't find that any integrity with what he did, because I don't think when he came back, he told the truth.
May I answer that?
Yeah, please.
John Kerry believed with all his heart that he was trying to end that war. He told people what he thought was the truth. The truth was very hard for a lot of people to swallow. It was the first time they'd been told that there were acts of violence against bodies, that there were random shootings. There have been enough books and enough accounts that describe the reality of that kind of behavior. What John Kerry was trying to do was shock America into ending the war. He admits that he used language that he regrets. Nothing in his service since then would lead you to believe that he in any way demeans Vietnam veterans. In fact, ever since 1971, when he came back, he has worked very hard to befriend veterans. He understands some veterans don't like what he said, but he, in his heart, believes he was doing the right thing to bring that war to a close. It was a truly remarkable thing. It was the first time in American history where veterans came back from a war and said, what we've been doing is wrong, and it must stop.
Dan, I'd like to put a question to our caller here. Chris, has John Kerry lost your vote?
Just to be honest with you, ma'am, as a Democrat, I wanted Joe Lieberman, to be honest with you. He never had my vote because of his service. And then when he made his service, the key point of I call it the coronation, because by the time it came around, by the time everything was done, Joe Lieberman was gone. But mm-hmm. he never really had my vote. And this is, and I would like to answer what that gentleman just said.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that he was doing what he thought was right, but there are a lot of people in this world that think things are right, and they think their actions make it okay because they're going for the greater good, and I just don't see that. We put people in jail all the time for doing things that they say, well, I was doing it for the greater good, but lying or doing something dishonorable does not make it right. I don't care what it is, and sitting there and saying, yeah, I want to get, I don't believe in this war. I have no problem with people coming back from Iraq and saying, hey, I don't believe in this war. But if somebody came back from Iraq and sat there and saying, well, hey, we're killing women and children and bombing villages and doing whatever, and knowing they're lying about it just because they don't like the war, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's honorable. And I know from my time in service in the Army and that they pound honor and integrity into your head all the time. And as an officer, I expect that more than I would expect it for somebody that's enlisted.
Thank you for that, Chris. Michael Tomasky, can I put a question to you about the point that Chris raises? I'm curious about whether the second ad, which targets specifically the anti-war protests that Kerry was involved in the statements that he made, is that something that could hurt him more than the question about his war record?
I think it could, possibly, yes. And that's why I'm less certain than I guess everyone else who's been on the show that this is going to go away very soon. Because this is, as your callers, obviously genuine emotions and feelings about this suggest, this is a question that we can debate and discuss. I think the first wave of ads were just absolutely scurrilous because they're about
really mostly picayune stuff. You know, did he get shrapnel? Did he not get shrapnel? Was the kid wearing a loincloth, or was he carrying a grenade launcher? And these are things for which they've, despite what Fred said, I feel they've offered no proof at all. But these were just really small things trying to pick away at Kerry's character. But the question about what he said when he came back is one that does still reflect very, very deep fissures in the country, and I think that he's probably going to have to do something to explain those remarks to people like your caller to try and get their vote. So yeah, this is the culture war. You know, this is the culture war applied to the question of war itself, finally.
What do you think about that, Dan? I mean, John Kerry has already said that he regrets some of the words he used in the statement before the committee. Is he going to have to revisit this?
Probably, and it may come at a debate, because I have a feeling that Bush, if he's in big enough trouble, will raise it at a debate, or it may even come up from, you know, one of the panelists. So he'll have to deal with it again. He has said that he regrets some of the things he said in his Senate testimony. And he has even gone so far as to say that the language he used was that of people who wrote to him and who told him their stories.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying not to make it just one guy's observations. He wanted it to represent a lot of very troubled Vietnam vets.
Right.
And I expect he'll visit that again.
I was going to say, I'm wondering here about something that Bob Dole said over the weekend. Did either of you see this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He said a lot of things. And he also raised some questions about what he believes about John Kerry's war record. But something he said really did stick with me, because I wonder if it has any resonance. He said, with all of this, you know, there's got to be some truth to the charges.
Well, that's kind of what the Bush people, and I use that term loosely, let's say the people who support Bush as well as Bush's campaign operation, this is what they want. They want the doubt to be planted, and they feel they've planted it, and now Bob Dole has come in and made greater doubt. I had to laugh today. I heard Dole talking about how Kerry called him this morning to discuss his remarks, and he told Kerry, no offense. I mean, you basically call a guy a wimp or a coward, and then you say, no offense.
Well, actually, he did call him a hero in the same interview. It was very back and forth, actually. Do we know what John Kerry's response to that was? Was it none taken?
He didn't say. Dole didn't say.
I have a slightly darker perspective on Bob Dole. It is apparent. It is true that he wrote in his memoir, his autobiography, about his first injury in World War II, his Purple Heart. It was self-inflicted. He threw a grenade, it hit a tree, it bounced back in his direction, and it exploded near him, and he got a Purple Heart for it. Exactly what the Swift Boat guys are accusing Kerry of having, of having inflicted his own wounds in order to get medals and awards. Now, if that happened to Bob Dole in his war experience, so he knows that Purple Hearts can be rewarded for that sort of thing, what sort of conscience does it take to go on national television and say that you know, there must be something to these things that these guys are saying about Kerry, and that maybe Kerry didn't deserve his medals?
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap it up there, Michael. I'd like to thank you both for joining us this evening. Michael Tomasky, executive editor of The American Prospect, and Dan Payne, Democratic strategist and media consultant. He worked with John Kerry on previous Senate campaigns. And thanks to all our guests and callers that joined us this evening. I'm Jennifer Westaway, in for Tom Ashbrook. You've been listening to On Point.